So we have the schus this week to read Parshas Noach. And of course the Torah begins by simply giving us a little bit of a biographical background of Noach. Elah told us Noach. The Torah goes on to tell us the generations of Noach. And Torah then says, this is in Perek Vav Pasuk Yud, chapter 6, verse 10, Vayoled Noach shlosh shabonim es Shem, es Chom, ve es Yafes. Noach had three sons by the names of Shem, Chom, and Yafes. And of course, then, usually this detail is eclipsed by the greater drama of the parasha, with the Mabul, with the flood, Noach essentially becoming the second Adam HaRishon, the second Adam to rebuild all of humanity. But if one examines this pasuk for just a moment, the Kotzke, Menachem Mendel of Kotzke, raises a very interesting shayla, a very interesting question. He says that we know chronologically, the children of Noach were born Shem, Yafes, and Chom. Chom was the youngest of Noach's children. Yet, interestingly enough, over here in the opening Pesukim, Chom is reckoned in between his two older brothers. And so the Kotzker asks a very simple question. He says, Lama nimna Chom sheni velo achron? Why was Chom mentioned second in the order of the three brothers and not last? Be'etaim legilo. After all, he was the youngest brother. Hare hu hatzoir ba'achim. He is the youngest of the brothers. And as such, why he should, it should really say, Vayoled Noach shlosha banim es Shem, es Yafes, ve'es Chom. Yet the Torah dafka places Chom in between Shem and Yafes. And the Kotzker says something amazing. I'm going to read to you his words, then we'll expound on it a bit more. Mistaber, Kotzker says it must be, Shelokhu oso achi echov beinehim, that his brothers decided to place him in between them. Ula yushba bechevrasam letova, perhaps he will be influenced through their friendship, through their love, through their companionship for good. In other words, says the Kotzker, something absolutely amazing. We know what happens with Chom later on. After the flood, Noach plants a vineyard, becomes drunk, and lays lies down or falls asleep in a compromised state. And Chom, his youngest son, sees him in this compromised state, and instead of going ahead and curtailing or alleviating or somehow stopping, minimizing his father's shame, he tells his brothers, according to some other Mefarshim, he may even share it with others, and he's cursed by Noach. He's ultimately cursed by Noach to be a nation of slaves, and ultimately he's unable to truly rise to his destiny because of this incredible flaw, because of this lack of cover that he showed to his father. Well, the Kotzker explains that it's possible that already Chom struggled as a young man, that there were already elements in his personality that were deficient, that there were already aspects of his identity that were flawed. And his older brothers saw this. Shem saw it. Yafes saw it. These two boys, who themselves grew up to be great men, already saw that there were deficiencies in the character of their younger brother Chom. And so they had a choice. The choice was they could distance themselves from their brother, saying Chom was a no-goodnik, as they say, that Chom was deficient, and therefore we have to safeguard ourselves, or they could embrace him. And says the Kotzker something amazing, that Shem and Yafes made a conscious decision to blanket their younger brother with love, to blanket him with acceptance, to blanket him with an incredible amount of holiness and goodness, hoping that by blanketing him with the love, with the goodness, with the holiness, that somehow he would change, that somehow he would develop, that somehow he would become better. Were they successful? Did they fail? So it's easy to say that they failed because of Chom's mistakes later on in the parsha. But the truth is, who knows what he could have done, or who knows what he would have done if his brothers had not blanketed him with that love? Who knows what other mistakes or other missteps he would have done had he not been influenced by the holiness and the goodness of his brothers? It's easy to think that they failed, but I would like to think that they were incredibly successful. That love, that togetherness, that achdus that they demonstrated with their younger brother was something that must have had a dramatic impact upon him in the years to come. And I think it teaches us two beautiful lessons. Number one, the idea that sometimes you all encounter people in life. Sometimes they may be our relatives. Sometimes they may be our friends. Sometimes people that we have in our community. And often they're not doing the right thing. And so the reflexive reaction is to run the other way. To run the other way. But what we learn from is that sometimes if you want to impact change, you have to bring those who are not like you closer to you. Don't run from, but run
too. Sometimes if you embrace people, you know, people do bad things for all kinds of reasons. And more often than not, it's not because they're bad people. It's because they have other things going on in life. And sometimes all they just need is a little bit more love. All they just need is a little bit more friendship. All they need is just a little bit more dveikus, a little more connection to the other. And if you're able to provide someone with that love, with that acceptance, with that closeness, there's no telling what they could accomplish. Even the chums in life need the loving and accepting embrace of the shames and of the yefeses. They need good people to surround them. They need good people to blanket them. That's lesson number one. That there are people in our circles in life who are struggling, who are having a difficult time. Don't distance them. Don't run from them. But instead try to blanket them with love and with holiness. And if we do that, there's no telling what they could accomplish. That's lesson one. Lesson two, which is a little bit of the converse lesson, is how careful we have to be with whom we surround ourselves. I know it might sound a little bit contradictory. I just said on one hand to go ahead and make sure to blanket everyone with love, which means connect to everyone. And that's true. But from a hashba, from an influence perspective, we have to make sure that we are being embraced, that we are circling ourselves, that we are surrounding ourselves by the right kind of people. You see, in life, people often think that I could be who I want to be, and I am almost like immune to the influences around me. See, even if I have friends who are not doing the right thing, if I have social circles in which certain things are flawed or broken, that's okay, that's what they do, but that's not me. And I could kind of carry on with my own life without being impacted or affected by them. And the truth is, as we get older, we recognize that that is unequivocally false. At the end of the day, the friends we surround ourselves with, the situations in which we place ourselves, have a dramatic impact on who and what we are. We all struggle. We are all chums in certain ways. All of us have our struggles. All of us have our weaknesses. And it's important in life to seek out the shame and the yefes with whom we could surround ourselves. It's important to have people we look up to. It's important to people we could ask etza from. It's important to have friends that don't bring us down, but rather push us up. We have to be so careful to surround ourselves with the right types of influences. Because if we do, then those influences, together with our desire to grow, the sky becomes the limit. This is the beautiful lesson in the opening verse of this week's parasha. Vayoled Noach Shlosha Banim. Noach didn't just have three sons, he had three beautiful gems. And the beautiful part was that his shem and his yefes, his two sons, who were spiritually successful, took heed, took care, and took notice of their struggling brother of Chum. They circled the wagons around him. They circled their arms around him. They enveloped him with love. They enveloped him with acceptance. They did whatever they could to try to bring him a little bit closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a little bit closer to the family, a little bit closer to themselves, to himself. We should be zochem Yartz Hashem to be there for others. We should be zochem Yartz Hashem to be able to give the love, the acceptance, the warm embrace to those who need it. We should be zochem Yartz Hashem to surround ourselves with people who can give that to us. We should be zocha to be the shame and the yefes for the chums in our life, and we should be zocha miyartz Hashem to be embraced by the shames and the yefeses as well. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos, a good Nerev Shabbos, and a Kol Tov.